If you don't have one, scoot next to somebody that does. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, last night, I brought a message on one of these passages that had the blessed word in it. And this morning in Sunday school, I gave you about a dozen of them. Well, here's another one.
Amen.
Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see the blessed word there? It says that we have a blessed hope. That blessed hope is our anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus once again. Now, brother, can you help me to hear me a little better? I've lost a little bit of that. That's getting there. Yes. There we are. The hope that we have in Christ is indeed a blessed hope for us, because after all, we have all kinds of things happening in our world, some of which bring heartache, some of which disappoint us, some of which we look at and we say we can't figure out this afternoon, much less tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. But in the midst of all of that, the Bible runs up the flag of hope.
Amen.
And sounds the trumpet to announce that one of these days the Lord Jesus is going to do what He did once already, and He's going to come to earth as He promised. Now, when the prophets of old announced in their prophetic utterances that He was going to come, a lot of people said, well, you know, we've been hearing that forever and it hadn't happened. Well, then there came a day when it happened. And while He was here, you may remember in Acts chapter number 1, I'll find it, verses 10 and 11, at the time when Jesus took off and went back to heaven, it says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Now, that's pretty plain. I'm reminded also in John chapter 14, Jesus said to His disciples before the crucifixion, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we have promise after promise in the Bible that gives us the reason to declare that the second coming of Christ is a blessed hope.
Amen.
That is, it's the hope that we latch on to and that we look toward, because we know it's coming one of these days. Now, I need to say here before I press too far, I don't know what day He's coming. And neither does that kook from California that announced a specific date last year and then re-announced it, and who has now apologized for all of that, even though he's got a lot of other reasons that I still refer to him as a kook. But when you read the Bible and misread it, so something that's so plain, so clear. The Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour when Christ will come, but He is coming. And you say, well, why wouldn't He tell us when? Well, there's a little bit of strategy involved there, I think. Somebody told me just in the last few days about a fellow that was entrusted with an estate, and the owner of the estate was, he was spending his winters in Florida or Hawaii or someplace, and they didn't know when he would come back. But the guy who was entrusted with the estate was being very meticulous to be sure everything was in place. And one of the neighbors stopped by one day and said, we noticed that you are just keeping everything, finely tuned. The grass is manicured and every speck of dust in the house is kept, taken care of. And it looks like you really expect that the owner will be coming back tomorrow or the next day. And he said, oh, no, not tomorrow, not the next day. He said, I want everything in place as if he were coming today.
Good.
And that's the way the Lord would like for me and for you to live and to function and to work, not as though that it's next week or next month or next year, but as though it might be at the noon hour today, or it might be mid-afternoon, or it might be in the early evening, it might be at midnight. We do not know the time. We do not know the hour. But the Bible says that the second coming of Christ is our blessed hope. They say, why is it a blessed hope for us? It is a blessed hope because it reminds us that there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. Now, we live in a world where many things are happening that are heartbreaking, really. And Christians sometimes get hurt just as much as people out in the world. And I remind you that, again, the Bible has told us this very clearly in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, 8, and 9 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the fact that we are walking with God doesn't mean that we have a safety net around us that would keep us from getting hurt. If a car runs through the middle of the building, Christians might get crushed just like folks that are not Christians. If an airplane falls out of the sky, Christians might die just as non-Christians would. We live in a world where things are not winding up, but they're winding down. They're not getting better, but they're getting worse.
Right.
And the Bible has all of this laid out in front of us, and this hope, that is the blessed hope, reminds us there's a better day coming. In fact, there's coming a day, a thousand-year reign. I heard the pastor mention a little bit ago, used the word millennium. There's a millennium, a thousand-year time coming on the earth when the Lord will be absolute monarch. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords, and things will function at his command. A better day coming, and there is heaven after that. There is heaven coming. And we have to just say there is a better day in the works. We don't know when it is, but it's coming. And for that reason, you and I say it's a blessed hope that we hold in the Lord Jesus. A blessed hope because all of us shall be delivered. We'll be delivered. We have to deal with death down here. We've already, if you've been saved, you've already locked the gates of hell so that you're not going to go through the gates of hell. You're going to miss hell if you're in Christ. And yet we still have to deal with death. And the Bible makes very clear that the hope we have in Christ is blessed for us because it delivers us from the power of sin. It delivers us from death. It delivers us from all of these things, hell included. When the trumpet sounds, we'll not have to be checking security. We'll not have to be trying to figure out what's going to happen with our baggage and all that kind of stuff that has made travel so difficult anymore. No, to the contrary. We simply know that we are up and out of here whenever the trumpet sounds. And we're looking for that. A blessed hope, because we shall be delivered. You know, we're coming to a time when there will be no pain, no death, no heartache, no sorrows. Revelation 21:8 reminds us all of those things. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more. And sometimes people say, I've had so much hurt, I've had so much heartache, I've had so many things go wrong in my life. Well, look, don't spend an eternity like that. Come to Christ. You get a deliverance package. You get a benefit package. You know, we jokingly say, you know, living with the Lord in this life may not pay all that well, but the retirement program is out of this world. Amen. And we have a lot to look forward to. Blessed hope. Blessed hope because we'll be delivered. Blessed hope because the devil doesn't win. Amen. He doesn't win. I mean, he's a whipped dog. He really is. He's a whipped dog. He's a coward. Sometimes we give him far too much grace. Well, he's awfully powerful. Well, I know. But you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, we have privilege to stand up to him. And the Bible says when we stand up to him and resist him, he'll flee from us. And so we have every reason to be excited and to know that in that final battle beyond Armageddon, when the devil rears up and flares up for that last time, he'll be slammed down into the bottomless pit. And the Bible says there forever and ever and ever. And for that reason, you and I sing sometimes that song, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Blessed hope, because old Scratch doesn't win. He doesn't. You and I are on the winning team. Blessed hope we have in the second coming of the Lord Jesus, because the grave is not the end. It is not the end. I recall some conversations over the years trying to give people some encouragement because they were at a point of having to bury a loved one, and they had some thought that this is just such an awful thing. We're at the end. We're at the end. And I said, no, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. Sometimes I go to the grave sites of some of my loved ones, and I stand there and I reflect upon the promises. I remember the day when we buried some of them. Days of sorrow, days of deep wounding. But I stand there sometimes now by those tombstones and think about my loved ones that are buried there. And I think about the day when the trumpet's going to sound and those graves are going to burst wide open. And they're going to come out of the grave. And, of course, that raises all kinds of questions. You know, it's like, well, man, some of them have been buried so long, there's nothing left. Oh, yeah. You know, the DNA that we know about now, that is the makeup of all of us, that DNA God has so totally identified that when that trumpet sounds, there's not going to be a piece of me missing. Amen? Not a piece of me. Fact of the matter is, all of that's going to be together. If you say, well, I had somebody die in the war and they buried them at sea. Don't you worry about it.
That's right.
Don't you worry about it. God has every single piece of your DNA and everything connected with you so identified that at his command, he can reassemble it just as it ought to be. You say, well, that's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to me that God would look out and say, I want a planet right there. Boom. And a planet's in place. It's mind-boggling to me that God just by his spoken word created the first man. And looked that over, and the way my wife tells this is he looked Adam and over and he said, I can do better than that, and he made Eve. By the way, I don't think she's too far wrong there. I think maybe she might be right. Pretty good theology. Amen. I mean, I'm amazed that God put things in place. Now look, you can spend the afternoon with me arguing and debating, but I'm telling you, I didn't evolve from anything.
Right.
And you're going to have a hard time trying to talk me into some evolutionary thesis. That's not going to fly. There's too many holes in that. One guy said, "Well, it's true, evolution. There's a missing link." I said, "Missing link? My foot, your whole stinking chain's missing. Not just a link in the chain. Whole chain's gone." Now, you and I, listen, the grave is not the end. We bury our loved ones, but there's a day coming when they will come out of the grave. 1 Thessalonians says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." The grave is not the end. Blessed hope, because we shall see the Lord. You know, we've spent our lives believing the book and looking toward heaven and even sometimes gazing on the artist concepts of what the Lord will, what the Lord looks like and what we will see when we see Him. Well, the Bible says we shall see Him as He is. And my guess is the artists have no way of imagining what all He looks like. But we shall see Him as He is, the verse says. And to be in the presence of the Lord is, it's just almost more than I can imagine.
Amen.
I've had the privilege at times to be in the presence of some national, internationally known individuals. Once in a while I get on an airplane and there'll be some celebrity on the airplane. And every time that you get on the airplane with a celebrity, you know, I mean, the word passes up and down through the aisles, you know. Some country music star flying out of Nashville. Those country music crooners are often on the airplane. I've flown with a bunch of them. But the word filters up and down through the airplane. "Oh, did you know Eddie Arnold's on the airplane? Oh, did you know James Dean was on there? Oh, did you know that, you know, Charlie Pride," all that kind of stuff. Politicians, I'm walking through airports, I've seen governors and senators and other times and places around the president or the vice president places where they've been. And, you know, we all say, "Oh, really, really, where's my camera?" Well, I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to see the Lord. The Lord who's the creator of the universe and who is our Savior and who has provided for us as He has. We're going to see Him. And it's blessed to imagine that we will see Him. And this hope that we have is blessed because at this point, that house, that apartment that you live in right now is no longer going to be your home, but you're going to have heaven as your home. Can you imagine what the Lord has prepared for those that love Him? Can you imagine being able to check into a place that is like what the Bible says heaven is, and to make it our home? That'll be our place. I mean, we labor down here to try to have a little place. Betty and I have a, you know, in Middle Tennessee, most of the houses are all brick, and we have a brick house, and you know, more bedrooms than we need, and you know, it's we used to have kids at the house. We don't have kids now, and we bought that house. We didn't have kids in the house. I don't know why we bought something that's about twice what we need. But, you know, we look at it, and it's our little hacienda. It's our little place of abode. And, you know, sitting on 4/10 of an acre, and one of the guys comes and mows it. And Betty's such a perfectionist. You know, there's little bushes here and little blossoms blooming here. And in fact, the guy who mows the yard, he says, "I mow other people's yards, but Mrs. Smith's yard." Notice he doesn't say it's my yard. He said, "Mrs. Smith's yard," he said, "I manicure her yard." You know. And if he doesn't, she goes out and explains to him about it. And but you know, I mean, you know, and we all, oh my, we're glad to have the little place we got and all of that. I'm telling you, listen, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. to compare with what heaven's going to be. It's a blessed hope because it is something solid on which we can build. Solid. We hear people talk about things they're going to do for us. Sometimes they not only don't do it, they don't intend to do it. Sometimes people make you promises. They say, I'll be there at a certain time, right at that. I mean, you be there at 1 o'clock and I'll be there. And they never show up. Sometimes people say, well, I'd love to take you to lunch. Let's go to lunch one day. And one day never comes. And sometimes, you know, you get saying, man, different people. They said this. Did they mean that? They didn't mean that. Didn't come with it. I'm telling you, when the Lord tells us, when the Lord says to us, I'm coming one of these days, and you need to be ready, and I want you to be ready, and you just get in and get your salvation in place, and you live for me, and all of the things that he tells us, and you build on that, I'm telling you, you're making ready so that if the trumpet sounds, oh, let's say at 12:30 today, or if the trumpet sounds at 2:30 in the afternoon, it'll not be, I mean, sometimes people say, oh, do you think the Lord's going to come back sometime soon? Well, I don't, let's not get suspicious about it. Let's get bug-eyed over it and just say, well, if he does, glory to God. We'll be excited. Betty and I left the house Friday, early Friday morning to fly out here. You say, well, did you leave anything undone? I don't know whether the bed was made or not. Maybe it was. I don't recall. But if it never gets made again, so what's the big deal, amen? You say, well, did you have every last thing in place of the house? I'm telling you, when the trumpet sounds, we won't be worrying about the shape that house is in. Some liberal can take it over and occupy it during the tribulation. I can make the payments, amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm just saying to you, we have something in the blessed hope that is solid on which we can build. And it can become your blessed hope the very moment that you receive Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
You know, I go car shopping and I look at everything on every lot. And eventually I say, now, that one right there, I think that one, that's the one. And I make a decision and I buy a car. When Betty and I bought that house, she shopped all over town. I was busy and I just said, you go out with a realtor and find two or three things you think you like, and then I'll go look at the two or three, not the 200 or 300. And honestly, when we drove down our street and I saw the house that she'd picked out, I almost knew before I even went inside it that it was what we wanted. And I just said, I walked in, I looked around, I said, hey, I think this is it. Let's make a bid on it. Let's see if we can buy it. And we made a choice. If we hadn't made the choice, I mean, we'd still be living in a hotel or a pup tent somewhere. Shop around all over the place looking for a car, and one day you say, that's the one, I think I'll go sign the papers and give them a little money, and next thing you know, man, you're riding in style. But you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. You know, man, we want to come to Montana. We want to come to Montana. Well, Brother Shearer, when do you want me to come to Montana? Well, he said, what about the first week of June? I look at my car, I said, we can do that. You know what we're doing? We're making a choice. We're deciding on a time. And we set it up, and I said to Betty, I'm going to Montana. You want to go to Montana? She said, I want to go to Montana. She made a choice. Now, we do this all the time. She and I have eaten lunch together every day that I'm in town for 40 years. So you eat lunch together every day? Every day. So then I get expensive. It's cheaper than alimony. We live busy lives, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Once in a while, she will say to me, well, you know, I've got several things I'm doing. I don't know that I'll come in for lunch today. And I say, girl, what are you thinking about? You know what I'm doing? I'm reacting. I want her to be there for lunch. You know? You say, well, you know, hey, we go get a hamburger. We go get a fried chicken. We go get something. And we make that choice every time she rolls up out in front of the sword offices. I go and get in the car with her, and she says, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "I don't know. Where do you want to go?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, what do you want to eat?" "I don't know. What do you want to eat?" "I don't know." And then I will say, "Well, what about the Mexican place now?" "Oh, no, I don't want to eat Mexican today." I said, "Right across the street from it, there's a Chinese place." "Well, no, let's don't eat Chinese." Now, you know what we're doing? We're in the process of making a decision. And I'm telling you what we do, though. We may debate whether it's Chinese or Mexican food or hamburgers or whatever. We'll debate that almost every day, she'll tell you. But every single day, we come to a decision. Sometimes she says, "Well, if you want to eat Mexican again, that's okay with me." I said, "Glory to God, let's go." See, we make a choice. And I'm telling you, if you want the full impact and the full package of the blessed hope, you got to make a choice. Amen. And that choice has to be made when you realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior.
Amen.
And whenever you realize you want to change your eternal destination from hell to heaven, and you simply say, "I'm willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ
Good.
As my Savior."
Good.
You know, I have on my phone right there, that phone that's laying right there, I have an app. Some of you have probably seen this. But I have, in fact, I queued it up in advance. Right now, do you realize that Saturn, the planet Saturn, is directly overhead of us right now? You know how I know that? Because all you got to do is turn that around. It identifies all the stars that are above us, the constellations, all of that. You can turn around this way and see what's out that way. Something called Hercules is out that way. Now, it's a free app. If you've got one of the smartphones, you can get it. You say, what's that about? Well, it helps me to identify everything. Stars and planets and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm having a blast with this thing. Smartphone. I'm trying to get as smart as the phone is. Amen. But I'm telling you, the blessed hope. You're not going to need one of those gizmos. You say, "Well, where's heaven? Where's heaven?" It's out there. And whenever the time comes, you won't need one of these smartphones. You won't need a GPS. Because if you've taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when that trumpet sounds, you won't even have to say, "Well, we got our maps together. What are we going to put in the computer?" No, no, no. You don't have to do that. Because the Lord Jesus is going to take us all. That's why we call it a blessed hope.
Amen.
Maybe somebody in this room needs to make the choice. You say, "I got to decide." You got to decide. Nobody's going to push you into this. God's not going to hit you over the head and say, "Hey, get in, get in, get in." God's not going to force you to do this. He wants you to come to Him because you want to come. But if you want to, He will admit you into His family. Let's stand up and we'll pray.